They'll check it out. A whole new generation of young people today who belong nowhere.
But I prefer to be an outcast.
Third culture kids, where the concept of the Dukan is the corner shop or the top shop.
We are live outside. Hey, yo, what's up, people?
What up, nation?
It's a revolution of expression.
You're tuned into the Dukan show. Stay tuned in.
Arab digital generation is shaping their identity, their creative expression, and their future. So please give a very warm welcome.
The Dukan.
Welcome to your tribe.
Yo, as part of this Ramadan's The Can Gets Fit movement, we got a little something for y'all. This year, we're moving with Decathlon. If you don't know them, they're that giant megastore with over 5,000 different type of products across 7,000 different type of sports. Yep, those guys. All you got to do is whisper The Can to any of the staff when you visit the store. Or if you're shopping online, you could also use our discount code Dukan10 to get 10% off. For more information, check out the episode description and you'll find all the details you'll need under Decathlon.
Welcome to your tribe.
Is your phone on airplane mode?
That's kind of what I say before class.
Yeah.
Because some people's phone rings on in yoga class.
Right?
Can you imagine?
But this is the thing is like when I'm in yoga class, I leave my phone in my bag, in my duffel, like outside. But I see some people now, they just put their phone right next to them, next to the mat. And I wonder about, I don't want to judge, but I am judgy. Like I am a judgy person. So I don't want to judge, but I'm like, is that good for you for the practice? Is yoga supposed to be peaceful? I think that's the question that I always wonder.
So that's the thing when like what makes it different from any other sport is that aspect to it, that connecting with yourself and all of that. And once you bring your phone in, you're basically still in the outside world. You're not tuning in with yourself. You're
right.
You're still wherever you were. So it's mainly like this practice is meant to bring you to the here, to the now, to focus on your present moment. And instead, you're kind of disturbing yourself or distracting yourself with the phone that's not supposed to be there.
Right.
So like I would advise against it, but like, since, for example, I teach in a gym, a lot of students are still mentally at work, for example, when they enter the class. So they're still like answering the boss from here and all of that. So I always start with put your phones on silent, on airplane mode. Some people even have alarms
on their phone in the middle of the class. The disrespect. Like, this is what I'm trying to say, right? It's like, okay, we're trying. So yogic practice for you. What does it mean? Like, is it to disconnect, or can you just be stretchy about it? Like, is it just to stretch the thing out, or is it to disconnect and to be present?
So every person does it for their own purpose. It's not really like I can't come and say, oh, it's spiritual and physical. And everyone has a reason why they practice. So some people, their reason is purely physical. I started practicing for purely physical reasons. So I was I used to be a dancer. And I did not have a partner for the longest time. And I basically started, because I was flexible, I said, okay, I want to do handstands. I want to be able to do all those things. And I did it for the skills at
first. Right. What kind of dance?
Salsa. So
right. So let me tell you how there's a deficit. If you boys are watching, there's a huge deficit in men and partners. I searched for years. So now you had to find yoga. Now you had to go solo dolo, right?
Because exactly.
You can't.
Then I don't need anyone.
Right. Then you don't need anyone. Salsa is about finding independence for women. Because I'm telling you, if you are a boy and you want to like dance, please just tell the Dukan show. I'm trying to. I searched for years for partners. For years, my world was like, okay, going to different dance studios, trying to find a partner. So I totally understand needing to go and be, and just wanting to find yourself in, because salsa is a, to be honest, all ballroom.
Yeah.
Forces you to confront yourself as a leader, as a follower. I guess yoga does the same thing, no?
So yes. And at the same time, it's mainly about keeping active, about also embracing that active lifestyle, having something to look forward to. So I was into, okay, let's practice to do a handstand, let's practice all the difficult things. But once this is done, like once you're like, okay, now I can do those things, but you start seeing that you wait for the time where the yoga class comes. So that's before becoming a teacher, before deciding that, oh, I want to teach others how to do this.
Right.
It was a journey of, okay, this is not only physical anymore. I literally wait for that class because I need that mental balance in my life.
Right.
So the moment I enter this room or the space, I feel different. And the moment I exit, I'm not the same person. So this kind of balance in my life, especially coming from corporate world as a background, is very important for everyone's life. And it's really interesting for also other corporate people to explore it instead of looking at it as a like a woo-woo thing. That
Woo-woo vibe, right? Like, let's talk. I think that yoga has a bad rep. As somebody, like, so first of all, I practice no single kind of yoga. I am a yoga... That is what I am. We might have to cut that out, but it is what I am. No, I'm a student of the city. I don't believe that, like, I love the variation, and I love different teachers and their philosophies. It teaches me about them and the way they, you know, and even now telling me your journey, I'm understanding, okay, you didn't operate in a world of, like, you operated in a corporate world, so you understand what people in the corporate world need when they enter your space. So how did you end up teaching? Because now, like, you're a student, you're loving yoga, it's your space in the middle of the week for you. How did you decide to jump from being, you know, on one side of the room to the other?
So for me, it's the same side. So the way that yoga made me feel afterwards was, okay, I wanna tell everyone. I wanna tell everyone who's on a computer the whole day that this is insane. This is amazing. Like, if you were at work the whole day and at 6 p.m. you're like feeling this, you know, like pressure and the stress and this, all of that, and you go to a class and release all of that and come back very like fresh the next day. So I wanted to spread this in actually my corporation. So basically I was giving classes in my company as a practice, and during my teacher training and during before, like on the time where I was practicing for my yoga exam, I was teaching at my company to actually build that practice. And you see how people enter the class with a perception about yoga and leave the class completely different. Some people, like, mainly a lot of guys just registered to my class because they're my friends at work. And
which is wonderful. You need ride or dies, like, at all. You know, your friends are like, okay, whatever.
So
she's
some
doing
people were
thing,
curious.
Right?
Yeah.
But did any of those guys continue to do the practice after they left?
So that's the thing. So 90% of men, after they attend the first class, they're like, okay, it's not for me, because it's intimidating when you look around, like when guys look around and see the girls like touching their toes and completely, because girls naturally or have a tendency to be more flexible.
Okay.
So it's intimidating for something that we are kind of like in men's perception, we are better at as women. So when a guy turns around in class, and people look around a lot, so when a guy turns around and sees how flexible others are, he gets intimidated, and then he's like, okay, maybe it's not for me. So, and that's on top of the spiritual aspect. That's purely like a physical thing, that's comparing yourself to others. And that, instead, like, men should be like, they should know that you need to tune into your own journey. It's your own thing that you build. And and I've seen a lot of men improve, like, from zero to hero in their practice just by
showing up.
Yes. Like, exactly. Just coming for the second class, let's
exactly,
say.
Exactly. And I think this is something that I've learned as part of learning and as part of sport in general. The first is always the worst. Like, you are going to be real garbage at the beginning. And if you can show up to the second class, you have an exponentially higher chance of surviving. And if you can show up to the third or fourth, at each time, the chances of you getting good become higher.
And not just good, attached. Like, yes, you will get this feeling that, okay, I am improving, I'm attached to my improvement, and this is why I want to come back.
Yeah.
So this is what's missing. Like, the from the first to the second class, that's the link that's kind of...
That's the hardest part, right?
Yeah.
Because, and I also recognize this, when I first started practicing, I realized I was looking at everybody else. And then there's a moment somewhere around like the fifth or sixth class where you're like, you've got to really look inside. You have to look at yourself only. And now when I practiced with you last time we did a yoga class, I was at Decathlon. I was like, I'm just going to focus on her and I'm going to focus on myself. And I don't remember who was around us. I know Ian was right next to me because he's me and my ride or die. But like, I just know... You have to learn to go inward, or yoga, in my opinion, doesn't really work.
Yeah.
If you're always looking outward, it doesn't really work.
So yeah, and like Decathlon was a really nice example. So we were basically in the middle of the store.
Yeah.
So it was like a lot of crowd, a lot of people passing by, people looking around. And first it builds the kind of awareness that, okay, this is what yoga is. It's not people doing weird things on their own.
Right.
And like it's not that. And it's also like, when I said cancel the noise or remove the distractions from around you, this is not easy. It's really like, it's hard to be silent.
Yeah.
It's hard to sit in silence. No one is saying that it's the easiest thing to do, but doing the hard thing, like doing
do
the hard thing.
Thing. Yeah, like do exactly, the hard thing, you know? Exactly. And I think it's really, well, what you did that was so nice as well was you had cards that you put in front of it. We chose cards. And I remember mine was hold the excuses. That was my card. And Ian's card was absolutely everything is progress. Mm-hmm. And I wanted his card. Want my card.
So usually your card, like the one you pull, resonates somehow with you in an
yes.
aspect of life. It doesn't have to be in this class or in,
yeah.
in your yoga journey. It's because I see it, like I give those cards in every single class and I see a lot of reactions to it. Like
yeah.
some students are like, I want the card that says I can eat as much chocolate as I want.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
So people look forward to read what's, it's not even a prediction or anything.
No,
it's
no.
just a nice universe message, let's say.
Yes.
So I do that because I want to add that spiritual, but at the same time I don't want to take away from the physical part of the practice.
Yes.
So I give that message, and most of my sessions are pure, like are more power yoga, more physical, because of the amount of men that's in my class. So I usually teach at a boxing gym.
Oh, really? Okay, great.
And more than 50% of students are men. So that, like, this is what it is needed in a class. So building muscle, building flexibility.
Yes.
And it does build strength and flexibility, which are two things that people look for in yoga, but they don't look for them in the first class, or they don't look for them when they book yoga. They
yes,
look
of
for
course.
Relaxation or for to unwind, let's say.
For yoga for me is not a drill. Like this is not, it's a contact sport. Okay. Like when I look at yoga in my life, it has been power yoga. It has been, I think it's because we're generally competitive, the people I surround myself with. And we tend to do sports that are very, the sports are very tired, like they're really hard on our bodies. So I wouldn't imagine any of us being able to just zen out and do a light flow. No, we need the power to connect, like the mind-body connection. I appreciate that your classes are actually more men, because I believe now more than ever, we need to facilitate tools for the men that we know to find peace within themselves by any means possible. Like by any means. And I think your class is probably a really good example of that.
And sometimes the means is breath, let's say. So sometimes
yeah.
it doesn't have to be, okay, calm your mind, don't think of other things, don't get distracted. Sometimes it's just like inhales and exhales in a particular sequence or
right.
in a particular timing that relieves the person. So it does not have to be something like something spiritual that maybe not everyone agrees with. So sometimes like the things I use more in classes are breathing techniques,
breath
different
work. Yeah.
yeah, breath work. So that actually everyone relates, let's say.
Yeah.
To
the core of us, right? We all breathe.
exactly.
Well, I think we all don't breathe well. That's the first thing that I realize is like nobody right now, none of you are breathing properly. Like zero people listening right now are breathing properly, myself included. And I think that, yes, getting to the breath, the beginning of us, the beginning of what we are is the breath. And without it, I am always grateful in class. When I was in your class, I always come back to like, I don't ask my body to breathe. It just does, you know? And I'm grateful for that, that I don't, the things that I truly need, I don't actually have to ask for. I don't ask for my heart to pump or my, you know, my breath, my body to breathe. It just does. And I think that's where all healing begins. You know, it begins and ends there.
Welcome to your tribe.
Yo, as part of this Ramadan's The Can Gets Fit movement, we got a little something extra for you. See, we believe that your fitness journey and building better habits ain't got to end with the holy month. So we partner with One Beat to give you the special discount. They're offering all our listeners a 15% discount across all class packages. Simply, all you got to do is visit the website, onebeatdxb.com, select your favorite package, 5, 10, 15, or 20 classes, and put in our promo code DGF with One Beat. DGF for Dukan Gets Fit with WITH, the number 1, and BEAT on checkout to get to enjoy a 15% discount. Check out the classes, get your health in check, and have a great time, y'all. For more information, check out the episode description and you will find all the details you need under One Beat DXB.
Welcome to your tribe.
So for where do you want to take your practice? Like, obviously you're teaching now and you're teaching in spaces where yoga may not necessarily be, you know, the overarching, it's the practice of like in boxing gyms and, you know,
yeah.
Where do you take yoga from there? Like, what is your hope for yoga?
So yeah, starting with spreading the practice to people that are far away from that environment. Right. That's the first thing, which are corporate people, men. So there are, I wouldn't say target markets. It's a very marketing oriented thing. But yeah. I would say there are people who need yoga and they still don't know they do.
Right.
So those are the people that I relate to kind of working with. And those are the people that I see coming back. And when those people come back to my class, this is where I feel like that's my kind of sense of purpose behind
that's
teaching.
That's your calling. That's yeah. happening. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So this is where I see, like when I organize events with corporations, yeah. when I organize events that are for employees, I was very proud to work with Decathlon on this collaboration because it feels that companies collaborate, like who collaborate on yoga and wellness are companies who want their employees to be well, who
Absolutely.
Want their people to feel well.
Absolutely.
So, and this is like, I like doing those kinds of events. Yeah. I like collaborating with companies to work on yoga with their employees because the way we sit on our desks for 8 hours is not okay.
Well, yeah. Can you explain what, because I know right now while someone's watching or listening, there's someone who's been sitting at their desk probably for 4 or 5 hours by the time they get into the yeah. podcast. So tell me, what is the problem with sitting for that long? Like what does it do to us?
So you said something completely right, which is sitting for that long. So people think that, oh, if I straighten my back and sit for 4 hours, that's fine. But it's really not fine.
Like
it's not like, oh, okay, you have to have a perfect posture in order to like be sitting
right.
properly. The idea is you cannot sit for 4 hours without moving. So whether anything you do, like if you stretch, like you just stretch on your desk, it's something.
Right.
So if you just know 3 or 4 exercises to do on your desk a few times a day, it helps a lot with your back. It helps a lot with your lower back. Some people come to classes, like to yoga classes, and their backs are destroyed. And it shows that it's the way they sit on a chair. It's
right.
like they're sitting with a curved back.
Like a C. They've got a C
exactly.
thing going. Yeah.
Exactly. So, and it's bad for your lower back. Like once you start, it won't happen on the first year, but once you're in corporate for 5 years, you will start feeling the discs in your back will be damaged. Your neck will not be well. So there's a lot of, it's not that, oh, yoga will fix that or reverse that. It's that yoga will make your muscles, your ligaments, your tendons more flexible in order to avoid injuries, whether they're work-related or other sports-related,
Fair.
Like boxing, let's say.
Yeah.
So you'll be more, like your muscles will be more lenient, and that will help with not getting injuries from work or otherwise.
Okay. And what about from... And I say this like with all the understanding that everybody has a different journey. But what about from a mental health perspective? Where does yoga sit? Like, is it actually helping people the way, you know, it's by the way, yoga marketing, amazing. Like, everyone's like, it's good for your heart, good for your... But is it really, like, truthfully?
So yes, it is. But it depends. Like, there are... Every body is different. And
right.
every person has a different... way of interacting with any sport. So for some people, it's not enough to pump your blood. For some people, it's, so some people want cardio-related activities, and yoga is not that.
Yeah.
Yoga is a flow that will keep your heart rate stable while working your muscles and while making you more flexible and so on. So it like the benefits are all there.
Right.
And from a mental health perspective, it's mainly like my motto is the harder you work in a class, the harder you like you sweat, let's say, in a yoga class, the more your last 10 minutes of Savasana while you're lying down will feel like a complete relief. Like, okay. Will feel like, so your meditation gets 20 times better when you remove the physical from the image.
I see.
So basically, you work hard, you sweat it off as much as you can, then you lie down. That part, you will relax 10 times more if you worked harder during
right.
the
so
practice.
The reward is bigger the harder you work during the practice.
Yeah. And it will be, like your mind will be much more clear if you like you will feel that your mind is much more calm, much more relaxed if you worked out if you did the core of the physical.
Right. And what about, so speaking of this, like feeling relaxed and all of that, was there a moment, what was the most like enlightened moment of your practice, like in your whole career, whether you were a teacher or a student? Maybe we're always students, to be honest.
Yeah, we are.
But what was that moment for you where you were like, oh, this is my home? Like,
so I wouldn't say it's a moment. Mm. I would say every time I get on the mat is that moment. So if I want to go, like now I actually seek the moment. So I go to my mat to find those moments.
Yeah.
And it's not really like, okay, like I have this, like I found this thing, or it's nothing we need to, I don't think it's something we find. I think it's just, when you go into yourself and get to know yourself better, and when you feel that, okay, I'm really in the present and I'm not getting distracted, even though no one is giving, like, for example, when you meditate,
yeah.
you like most people have the voice in their head and the million voices.
I definitely
and you
do.
Cannot,
I can't silence it.
So this is really hard to achieve. But once you feel like you manage to do 5 minutes, then 10 minutes,
right.
and then you feel like your practice is improving and your reaction, let's say your the way you react with people, the way you deal with others outside of the meditation,
yeah.
Changes, and there is where you reap the benefits of all what you're doing. So because, like, for example, I was a very very reactive person. I used to get angry in a very simple, like if someone approaches me, or like it was very easy to get me angry or
really?
Get me frustrated.
So you were quite reactive to the world, you mean? Like,
yeah. So
would you call yourself negative? Were you negative?
No, not really negative. I would say I don't know a word other than reactive to
right.
say. So let's say maybe I didn't listen enough, or maybe I didn't have the needed emotional intelligence to sit back and understand really what the other person means or read between the lines. So I felt like this practice helped so much to change my, not my personality, but change my this reactiveness to a more like stable listening, in control, you know, like it grounded me, let's say it grounded me.
Yeah.
Like now I feel like calm. I feel like a peaceful person. I feel like not like external factors will not impact me or destroy my mental health or affect me in a way unless I allow them to.
Right.
So and that I feel is the impact of what, let's say, meditation or yoga did to me. So that's something I'm obviously eternally grateful for.
Of course, it's the cornerstone of your piece right now, from the sounds of it.
Yeah.
And how? So when for a lot of people, Instagram or TikTok are their first interactions with like practicing yoga, and I say like performing yoga or whatever it is. What do you think of this world of bendy, trending? You know what I mean? I'm not saying that it's gatekeeping, because it's not. It's making yoga and its practice accessible to so many people who may never have access to it. But I just wonder, is this good for us, the way it's represented on social media in these endless scrolls of bendy people?
It's true. So just like filters, so yeah. It's the same. I think it's the same interaction. So I don't think that bendy people or flexible people were always that way.
Yeah.
I don't think that it took them one try to take that shot.
Yeah.
And it didn't. people practice for years to to do those things. So there, like, there has to be some awareness behind the effort behind the thing. So I personally, like, guilty. I watch these things. Like, I literally can spend hours watching these things. It's I save beautiful. Them for the day that I can practice, you know, like, that I do them. And I do practice while sometimes I use something that I saw on Instagram to practice for something or to build a sequence for a class. So It is helpful, but at the same time, it's like filters. So, you, like, people who are watching need to realize that this is, I wouldn't say not real, this is real, but this took a lot of effort, a lot of shots to reach. Yes. So it's not that simple.
Yes.
So, and you shouldn't expect it from the first class or second
I think it's
class.
That expectation that it sets that makes it so difficult for, you know, when I say I practice yoga, it just means that I show up to classes. Exactly. That's all it means. Like, I'm just being honest. I just show up to classes. But for a lot of women and men that I know, they're just intimidated because the world now shows, okay, they're like, well, I can't meditate, so I can't do yoga. There's so many connotations now built in.
Yeah.
And I guess you're right. It's the highlight reel. It's truthfully the highlight reel. And I wish maybe we should search for more documented journeys. Like, there are people who are like 100 days of handstands and you see them do nothing at first. And then at the 100th day, they're like amazing.
So, but other people's journey is other people's journey.
Yes.
So even 100 days of handstand, if it's not you doing it, if it's someone else doing it, it would feel like for the person that's doing the 100 days, it's amazing because it's literally like they are documenting themselves and seeing themselves improve.
Yes.
It's not for others. It's for themselves. And mostly that's what reels are. So if I look back at my own reels, which I do many times, I am looking at, okay, I did that. So I'm proud of that movement that I practiced for ages. And I'm posting it not just for the world to see. I'm posting it because it satisfied me to do it.
Yes.
So that's like, it's more important to do it for yourself than to see that, oh, someone else managed. Maybe it helps to make you like, maybe it helps to make you see what's possible.
Yes, it gives you the vision so you can visualize the potential of where you could go. But I think what you said earlier was so profound. Every body is different.
Yeah.
Everybody is different and every body is different.
Yeah.
And so the more we honor how different we are in this sense, the better it will all be, I think. And so where do you want, like, where can people find you if they want to take your class? Like, do they find you online? Are you one of the bendy people?
Yes, you are.
I would say.
Now, I'm more proud of my strength than my flexibility.
Right.
So I am very flexible, but I enjoy the powerful things like holding a handstand without a wall, those things. So I teach a lot of those in my class, the crow pose, the poses that require strength. I also teach a lot of flexibility.
Of course. I do
a lot of backbend classes and those things. But like, some teachers are meant to like bend and hold their legs from the back,
you know.
And even if I could hold, like, even if I could full split or even if I could that, my focus is more on power and skills than flexibility, but it's just a preference. It's not really
it has no bearing. You're practicing nonetheless.
So to find me, so basically there's few ways to find me. First, I'm doing another class at Decathlon, so you can get to know me if you don't want to register in a gym.
Yes.
Second, I teach at the UFC gym, which is the kickboxing gym, Business Bay branch. I also have my own club, which is, I don't know if you know of Meetup, the Meetup page.
Yeah, Meetup, yeah.
Yeah, so I have a group called Vibe and Flow. It's a very big group, and we do park classes. So I do outdoor classes in different parks in around Dubai, mostly around this area, so Business Bay, those areas. I do that to make yoga accessible. So a lot of people will not book a full year at a gym, for example,
or
not everyone has this, not everyone has the time or all of that. So I do maybe once every 2 weeks, I do a big class in a park and a lot of new faces, a lot of new people. It's a really cool vibe over there. And then we have tea together, get to know each other.
Oh, so, how lovely. So you're building community through Vibe and Flow.
Yeah.
And can anybody just have a meetup account and they can show up?
Yes.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And how big is the community? Is it?
So I think we're at 200 people now.
Oh, wow. 200 people. Okay, sure, amazing. Yeah. Amazing. And I guess if some people who find the Dukan show, they're new to town and they just want, like, first of all, everyone's new to Dubai. Dubai's always new.
Exactly.
But, like, it doesn't matter if you've lived
here. We get a lot of tourists in class. Yeah. Like people who are here for 10 days, let's say, and they want to continue practicing. They don't want to cut their practice from back home. So they also come to the park classes. So anyone can show up.
That's so wonderful. Making yoga accessible is actually, I think, what a noble practice, because it is for everybody. True. Yeah. Even though everybody is different, yoga is for everybody.
True.
And I think that's wonderful.
Yeah.
So I believe, like you said, you'll be at Decathlon. You can get all the details from the Dukan show Instagram and socials. But at the same time, Vibe and Flow on Meetup, they can find you. They can hopefully be a part of your community. And if somebody wants, if somebody does want to do Power Flow, is that something they can contact you? Like, they can DM you and help figure it out?
So,
because I think that's more accessible to people, right?
Yeah. So my Instagram is Victoria Debian. It's Debian. Yeah. So I you can DM me anytime. I also do a lot of collabs with corporate. So because, as I said, I'm focused on employees because I come from there. So so you can also contact me anytime and we can organize something. I have a few gigs with a few different organizations.
Amazing. So if you've been sitting down for the past like 6 hours, I know most of you have, take a look at Victoria's Instagram. I think there might be something helpful there for you. She's not a bendy person. She's a power and strength person. And on that note, thank you so much for listening. Please tune into the other episodes that we have. And it is Ramadan. Dukan gets fit. Join us. Add yourselves to the WhatsApp group. It's madness out in the city, and we love it.
Thank you for kicking it with us today. I hope you enjoyed listening to this week's episode as much as we enjoyed creating it for you. Please subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcast at to stay up to date with all our conversations. Also, if you don't mind, hit us with the 5-star rating, leave a comment, let us know how you feel about the show. That way, it could also help others find the show. And be sure to share it with your friends and family, whoever you think can benefit from it. You can holler at us on all social media platforms at Dukan Show. We'd love to hear from you. Or you could drop us an email to hello@dukanmedia.com. Salam.